I'm going to ask the worship team just to stay because I'm going to ask Brother Bill is going to come up. I felt like the Lord said tonight is testimony night. We can kind of leave the lights, not just don't turn them all the way up. Maybe kind of leave them kind of down because he's going to come up and share a quick testimony and some verses that the Lord showed him with the testimony. And then we're going to pray over some of our missionaries that are in sensitive countries. And so we're just going to pray over our missionaries. And then we have another testimony, and then I'm going to share a testimony. And so we're just going to kind of, if we feel led to sing another worship song and you want to just stay in your seat or you want to kneel or you want to pray, we're just going to let the Spirit lead how tonight goes. But Brother Bill, if you come on up.
Thank you. Amen. I'm going to stand up here if that's okay. Open up my Bible real quick. So this morning, well, let me start with, for several years now, really the past year more than any, but several years, I've just been in a really hard place, really dark place, really difficult place in my life. But a few months ago, the Lord brought me to a scripture. But before I get to that scripture, I'm dropping everything here. So this morning, Pastor asked us to, you know, just start praying in the Spirit and interceding for our families and praying for our loved ones, praying for our needs. And so I knelt down back there and, you know, had my face in the chair and, you know, my eyes were closed. But, you know, when you close your eyes, if you put your hand over your eyes, it gets a little darker because there's still some light getting through your eyelids. But, I had my face down in the chair, but it was almost like I could sense a shadow. And so I just kept praying, and I thought somebody had stood up beside me and was about to lay their hands on me and pray for me, is what I thought. And so we kept praying, and then as this service moved on this morning, I opened my eyes and looked, and nobody was there. And so then the Lord reminded me of a scripture that he had brought me to in this difficult place in my life, Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So this difficult place that I've been in, you know, God has basically brought me to that scripture that he's brought me to a secret place that he can work in me, that he can bring me closer to him and make me more in love with him. Just really touched me. So this morning, you know, when that happened, you know, I just believe and testify that it was a shadow of God over me, that he was allowing me to experience, to comfort me, to encourage me that I'm under his shadow. You know, I'm dwelling in that secret place. You know, it's not a place I had chosen, but it's something God had chosen because I was for many years, was getting very lethargic, very lazy with my faith. And then as I brought this, got ready to ask Pastor Shannon about testifying of what I experienced this morning, from Psalms 91:1, the Lord brought me to Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, I think we could probably all testify, we've all had trouble, we've all had difficulties, we've all had circumstances that we would not have chosen in our lives. But those times of trouble do come. But for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Even if you find yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of death itself, he is with you. That's the encouragement tonight. That's what the Lord encouraged me with this morning. His shadow's over me because I've dwelt in His secret place. So I encourage you, whatever you're going through, find that secret place. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Take that time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in that note, understanding that we dwell as Christians under the shadow of the Almighty, like I said, I just want us to ask us to pray. We have four missionary families that are in Israel, and they are, there are laws against proselytizing and things like that. You can see their names and pictures. I encourage you to look on the missions board at the missionaries that are in Israel and to keep up with them. Some of them do have Facebook and you can follow them. One thing that I do want to challenge you over this month is pray and let the Lord just walk past the missions board and ask the Lord to put one particular missionary for this month and then maybe for the rest of this year on your heart. Because it, you know, maybe trying to remember all of them would be a lot. But just say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? And then you can look, some of them have Facebook. You can look up them on Facebook. You can follow them for their updates. You know, you can email them. And so I just want to encourage you. It's a way to just kind of keep it beyond just us and keep it on what the Lord is doing all over the world. And so I just want us, as the worship team plays for a few minutes, I just want us to pray for our missionaries that are in Israel and that God would just encourage them, that they would recognize themselves under the shadow of the Almighty, that they would be protected, that they would have opportunities to share the gospel, that the Lord would open doors for them to speak. And so I'm just going to kind of let y'all pray, and then I'll just close this time of prayer in prayer. And so we're just going to give a couple of minutes to you just pray for them.
I remember from the beginning of our walk with the Lord in New York City, we had quite a few opportunities to come across a lot of Jewish neighborhoods, and especially the very religious part called the Hasidics. And it was like a spiritual battle. And we had learned through a sister in the Lord who was actually married to a Jewish guy. He was not a believer at the time. I pray that he is today. But there was a burden that we had growing up in the church for Israel. And it was like the Hebrew language was so powerful when we heard it. And I remember one time praying with a prayer shawl over my head, and I couldn't move. I wanted to pray, but nothing came out. I felt the Hebrew word for the weight of God, the glory of God, is kavod. And I felt that heaviness upon me. I was trembling. And it reminded me so much of the glory that came in the temple. They fell at their face. They couldn't speak. They couldn't move. It says that the priests of the Lord could not minister because the glory and the weight of God was so strong. But we always had this burden for Israel. And Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back the exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. I know in the New Testament it says, because the Jewish people have blessed us, they have been a big part of bringing us the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, that we should bless them. So if you bless somebody in Israel, I'm telling you, God's going to bless you tremendously. But do it with a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness for Jesus. And if you do it that way, there's no end to the blessings. We were filled with laughter. We sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Restore our fortunes. The streams renew the desert. You know, there's parts of Israel where they said nothing could ever grow there. Some of the best fruit, some of the best flowers, some of the best vegetation comes from Israel. It's amazing what God has done in that land. I've not been there, but when people step on that land, they say it's transforming. It's an amazing place to be. I hope to get there someday before he takes me home. But the scriptures in the psalm clearly tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you do so, you will prosper. If you pray with a thankful heart that God used the Jewish people to bring the Messiah, he could have used anybody, but he chose the Jewish people, Israel. I love to refer to him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God whose son's name is Jesus. So, Father, we lift up Israel to you, God, the land where you placed your name upon. And it's been said that there's a satellite image of a top of a mountain where it spells out Yahweh. I think it's possible. But I know that God's hand is upon that. Some say he's not a real estate agent. He owns the whole world. He's the God of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that your word would go forth from that place. We pray that you touch the Jewish people, Father. God, that you would see the hearts of your people that know you and use them for your glory to touch those who have come out of the Jewish people. God, show them the Messiah. Let them not pass over some Isaiah 53 anymore. Let them read it through. God, give them visions. Give them dreams. The Jewish people. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father. We pray for the peace of all Israel. And those who love her shall prosper. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we agree that our missionaries that are there in Israel, God, that you would open doors for them to minister to your people. God, that they would walk through doors seeing you opening them. God, that they would recognize, God, that they are hidden under the shadow of you, Almighty God, that you would provide for them, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them as they walk with you and with your people, God, and that there would be provision and anointing. God, open doors, Lord, and that they would hear your voice and speak your will and your word with authority and with wisdom. For your protection, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you. Amen. Praise you, God. Well, I'm going to invite Wanda. Wanda is going to come up and share a testimony and a couple of scriptures that the Lord put on her heart.
I don't think I'm tall enough to stand up there. Hello, folks. I've been wanting to share this with you guys for a couple of months. If you remember, it's been about 2 months now, a prophecy was given about the river, to step into the river and feel the power of God. And that day, I was hurting so bad. See, back in 2005, I was partly on a walker, partly in a wheelchair. My back was so bad. They did surgery on me, and they told me it'd last me 3 years. I told the doctor, I'm not coming back. And you know what? I haven't been back. Now, they want to put metal in my back, and I told them, no, not until I'm completely crippled. I'm not going to do it. But that Sunday that message was given, I was sitting there hurting. My back was hurting. My elbows were hurting from the arthritis. I'm like, God, if this is my thorn in the flesh, so be it. But if you would, please take the pain away. Deliver me from this. I've suffered with this too long now. And you know what? I felt like a ball just go up my back, and I went, just straightened right up. And I didn't feel any pain after that. I felt great till Monday morning. Monday morning, I told Tim, I was driving to work, I said, oh, wow, I feel it this morning. And I thought, but you know what? Spirit of affirmity, be gone. Because Jesus healed me, and I'm not going to let you steal that from me. That's mine. That's my gift from God. Once we're healed, we're healed. But we need to live in it. And when you do get your healing, just know, Satan is going to attack. In John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. So the first thing that's on there is steal. He's trying to steal your testimony. Every single one of you have a testimony. We all have a testimony. And if we're not sharing it, we're not doing God justice. We're not living out our victory. We're letting Satan steal that from us, because it's our testimony that's going to bring others to know him. So you got to live in it. And he steals first, and then he kills. He kills your joy. He takes your life away from you, as it is in Christ. So that leads up to James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee. The whole verse says, so humble yourself, submit before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when he comes at us and he says, I'm going to take that healing, you're going to hurt today. Oh, you were safe from drugs? Nah, that's just a coincidence that you were able to quit. It'll be back. It'll be back. Don't worry, it'll be back. Resist. Resist him, and he will flee from you. You know, the minute I said, spirit of infirmity, be gone, Jesus gave me my healing. You're not having it. You know what? That pain left like that. We got to live in it. Don't just take what God's given you and forget about it. Live with it. Concentrate on it. Focus on it. It's important to us. And we've got to stop him from stealing it. And in Proverbs 18:21, one of my favorites, and my sister gave me a book on this, and It's become part of my language now. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those that love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, the New King James puts that death and life are in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what kind of fruit are you eating today? What are you speaking? Are you speaking pain and suffering, or are you speaking victory and healing? Speak it. Don't get up and say, oh, I'm hurting, I feel bad, because you're going to live in that. You're opening those doors. You're actually setting up your own prophecy for failure. So speak life, speak truth, and God will take that and use it for you. So expect miracles. Expect victories every day. Expect those strongholds to fall away, because there's victory in Jesus. God has never left us or forsaken us. So when you're in a dark spot, just know God's victorious. He's not going to leave you there. So I can't emphasize that enough. God is good. Walk in it.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to share a couple of my testimonies to kind of finish this out, and then we're going to end with a worship song. So first of all, I just want to thank God for healing and protection. Praise the Lord. Most of you know probably. So Wednesday morning, Eden followed me to the bathroom and was sitting outside of the door, and it was dark. And when I came out in the dark, I promptly tripped over her. She didn't get hurt at all, praise the Lord. But I hit first my knee and then my elbow and apparently then my head. I didn't realize I hit my head because I didn't remember hitting my head. And after a couple of blackout sessions and some other signs of concussion, I realized, okay, Rick woke me up, and then anyway, found out a couple hours later, oh, I have a bump on my head. Apparently I did hit my head, which I didn't remember doing. And so Janine came over, of course, and said, you need to rest, she offered to preach so that Rick could stay home and take care of the children so that I could rest. And the Lord spoke through her mightily on Wednesday night, praise the Lord. And so I want to say thank you, because my elbow, I could not even bend it. Like, I came with a sling because Rick was like, put this on so the girls will stay off of your arm. And I had, per my sister's instruction, castor oil and ginger on my arm, on my elbow. And so I had that rubbed in there and a sling wrapped up. And then by Thursday, I just had a little. And then by Friday, I could stretch it almost all the way out. And now today, there's just a little bit of tension, and almost all of the swelling is down, and there's hardly any bruising. And I'm just giving God the praise, because yes, hallelujah. I didn't have any like cognitive brain fog, nothing like that. I mean, I am just thankful to the Lord. Falling, I've done many times over my life, but I am just grateful. I feel like this was miraculous, the healing from this. And so, number two, Psalm 32:8 says, this is one of my favorite life verses. I will instruct you. This is God speaking. And teach you in the way you should go. That word way is course of life or mode of action. So I will teach you in the mode of action, in the way of life. I will guide you with my eye. So we can see from God's perspective. And so I wanted to just share. So at the beginning of June, the Lord gave me some very specific instructions regarding my van, our van at the time. And For 6 weeks, I prayed and asked God for wisdom. I do not make decisions lightly. I have told people who come and try to sell things to me that, listen, it takes me a long time to make decisions. And so I prayed and sought God. And this is something that I want us to understand, is I invite God into lots of decisions. I feel like we should invite God into decisions, into financial ones, into lots of decisions, and invite his will and his wisdom. And so I am desperate to hear his voice and to do his will. And so what I have learned, though, is that it's easy to get confused and about what is spirit and what is flesh. Am I hearing from God? Is this God? Is this me? Is, you know, am I going to fail? Am I missing God entirely? et cetera, et cetera. Is this my idea or his? Am I secretly being selfish and I don't even realize it? You know, all of these things. And so we think his will, if you put up the first slide, we think, and this is just going to be a quick testimony, we think his will is going to be like from point A to point B. Like, okay, God, you're going to just give me specific instructions and I'm going to, in a straight line, just go from A to B. You know, no problem. And so when that doesn't happen, we go, oh, God, like, did I miss you? Like, and am I out of your will entirely? Like, am I hearing you at all? You know, we forget John that says, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. Or Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. That word teach I've shared before, it means to flow as water with all this water and river. I love it. And it means to point as with the finger. God will teach us. But sometimes in the time between we know for sure what God's will and his will is being done, we're like, God, am I hearing you at all? You know, because there's all this confusion. And I am speaking from personal experience. So if you feel that, understand, I've been there recently. But what I feel like God's will actually often looks like, if you put up the next one, it looks more like this. We kind of go round and round and round and round until, and God shows us, okay, you thought that this is what you needed, but actually this is what, you know, or you thought that this is the reason why. And God kind of works some of the flesh out of us, and he shows us some of the flesh that's in us, and he teaches us trust, and he shows us, no, you actually are hearing my voice. Despite, you know, the fear sometimes that we have that we weren't hearing his voice. And so for the van, I had finally found the one that I felt like was from the Lord, because Rick was in agreement with what we did before. And so I had felt like, okay, this is it. This is the one that we're supposed to buy. It was 5.5 hours in Marietta away. And so we took off on this adventure with the children in Rick's truck with no AC to drive them in, which, you know, first world problems, like, you know. But so we drove to Marietta 7 hours later because, you know, driving through Atlanta and having multiple children with you is not going to be, you know, 5.5 hours like it says. So 7 hours we roll up. They do not even have the van on the lot. I have been messaging this person. I am prepared. I'm thinking, surely they know we're coming from 5 hours away. They don't have it on the lot. So then Rick test drives it, not to mention that Eden's having an accident, so to speak, as we're pulling into the parking lot, a nasty accident, I'll just say it that way, in the car seat. I'm like, lovely. Okay, we have driven all this way, and it was a fight. I mean, it was just a fight. And of course, we know that it's going to fight. We know that life is a battle. But when you are doing God's will, and you're like, God, like, I have prayed about this, and I have obeyed you, and I am seeking to do your will, sometimes it is surprising when things are not easy. And so when we got to the dealership, and we were, Rick and I were both frustrated, and I'm like, okay, it is about our testimony. At the end of the day, this is about us having a testimony, you know, with these people and presenting that who we are as Christians, right? And so Rick goes and test drives the van. Oh, one of the lights comes on. It's got an issue. Of course, by that point, all of the technicians are gone for the day. So now we need to go south to spend the night at our friend's house, who our plan was to go spend the night and then leave from south. No, we got to go an hour, which took us more like 2 hours south, and then come back to Marietta in the morning and wait for a few hours and then go back to Camden. Needless to say, we got home Friday. It was like 11 o'clock on Friday night. The van, you know, it has the problem. They say they have fixed it. So on the way home, now Eden has a fever on the way home in the back, and the light comes back on the van that they have fixed. At this point, I'm like, we are not going back to Marietta. Like, we are going home to Camden with this van. And so anyway, long story short, Rick opens a drawer while we stopped at a gas station, I think for me to change one of the girls. Rick opens a drawer that I didn't even know existed in this van. Janine, of course, we're texting back and forth because she is in this thing with me. Like, we are praying over this van. And she said, Shannon, you don't know that maybe that somebody had already prayed a blessing over that van. So Rick opens this drawer. In it are two keychains and a little card in a foreign language. And I'm like, That's weird. Because if you put up the next slide, the keychain is not from the dealership that we brought it from. We bought it from a dealership in Marietta. This is from a dealership in New York. And I'm like, now Rick knew that it came from New York because of the Carfax. But I'm like, what in the world? Now, I should have, because of seeing Hebrew letters and looking up Hebrew, I should have recognized that that's Hebrew, but I didn't. I'm like, what foreign language is this? What is happening with this van? Like, what in the world, you know? And so we get home. I'm talking to Ezra and Silas about it, and Ezra's like, Mom, there's probably an app that will, you know, translate that, you know, thank you, generation, whatever he is, you know. And so, you know, I look up an app on my phone, I take the picture, I'm like, is it Arabic? Is it this kind of Arabic? Is it Farsi? Like, where is it from? Hebrew, bam, up comes the prayer that was in my van when I bought it from Marietta, the prayer that had been in it since New York. If you put up the next slide, this is the prayer that was on the back of this keychain. May it be your will, O God, our God, and the God of our fathers, that we may go to peace and march us to peace and grant us peace and guide us for peace, and you will reach the province and we will desire for life and joy and peace. If his opinion is to return, what does he say? And return us to peace and save us from the clutches of every enemy lurking and wandering and beast in your path and all kinds of mischief. You will be excited to come into the world and send a blessing in every deed of our hands. Grant grace and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all of us. Hear the voice of our supplication, for it is easy to hear prayer and supplication. Blessed are you, Lord, who hears prayer. Amen. Amen. That's what was in my van before I even got it. I just want to say, okay, this was also in my van. If you put it, the next slide. This, and I was like, what is that? No, that's also a prayer. If you go to the next slide, this prayer, the road, let it be your will, O Lord, our God and my God, our ancestors. May we go to peace and may we march to peace. Okay, wait a minute. Yeah. No, it is. No, it is different. Okay. And let us agree to peace. There's a lot of peace in these prayers, y'all. Isn't that awesome? And we will come to the province of our desire for life and joy and peace. If he intends to return immediately, he says, let us return to peace and deliver us from the crutches of every enemy and predator and adversary and bad animals on the way. Amen. And all kinds of pharaohs. And those who are excited to come into the world, and let them, and grace and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all we have seen, because God does not listen to prayer and supplication. Blessed are you, Lord, who hears prayer. How cool is God? You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, this is my encouragement to you. Sometimes in the midst of prayer and our obedience, we think point A to point B, and somewhere in the middle of point A to point B, when it looks more like a bullseye than it does a line, we're like, God, am I hearing you at all? Like, and where are you in this? Listen, remember who he is. Remember that his word says his sheep know his voice. Remember that he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that he should go. I will guide you with my eye, and trust that he is leading you, because he is. And so I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close with You Are My Champion. Because like I said at the beginning, the Bible says, and Janine shared this with me earlier, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, by the word of their testimony. This is how we overcome. Is not only do we recognize what God is doing in our lives, but we share it with other people so they can be encouraged in what God is doing in our lives. Because it is encouraging, right, to hear what God is doing in our lives. And so I just encourage you, if you have testimonies of God is doing, let us know. Share it on Hashtag News. You know, but let's just sing as we close this service. Let's just sing to our God, who he is, and worship him because he is worthy.